Divine Office. From ancient times, the Church has had the custom of celebrating each day the Liturgy of the Hours. In this way, the Church fulfills the Lord's precept to pray without ceasing, at once offering praise to God the Father and interceding for the salvation of the world. Saturday, Office of Readings. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty, he shines.
Our God comes. He keeps silence no longer. Before him, fire devours. Around him, tempest rages. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people.
Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you, for I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you.
I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds.
For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky, all that moves in the field belongs to me.
Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
A sacrifice of praise will give me glory.
A sacrifice of praise will give me glory.
But God says to the wicked, but how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law and throw my words to the winds?
You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil, and whose tongue is plotting crime.
You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son, you do this, and should I keep silence? Do you think that I am like you?
Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Father, because Jesus, your servant, became obedient even unto death, his sacrifice was greater than all holocausts of old. Accept the sacrifice of praise we offer you through him, and may we show the effects of it in our lives by striving to do your will until our whole life becomes adoration in spirit and truth.
A sacrifice of praise will give you glory.
We are always praying earnestly for you,
that you may have a deep knowledge of God's will.
From the first book of Samuel. David himself went to the place where Saul was encamped and examined the spot where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the general, had their sleeping quarters. Saul's were within the barricade, and all his soldiers were camped around him. David asked Ahimelech the Hittite, and Abishai, son of Zeruiah and brother of Joab, "Who will go down into the camp with me to Saul?" Abishai replied, "I will." So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldiers by night, and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade, with his spear thrust into the ground at his head, and Abner and his men sleeping around him. Abishai whispered to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I will not need a second thrust." But David said to Abishai, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" "As the Lord lives," David continued, "it must be the Lord himself who will strike him, whether the time comes for him to die, or he goes out and perishes in battle. But the Lord forbid that I touch his anointed. Now take the spear which is at his head, and the water jug, and let us be on our way." So David took the spear and the water jug from their place at Saul's head, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or awakening. All remained asleep, because the Lord had put them into a deep slumber. Going across to an opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, son of Ner, and the troops. He then shouted, "Will you not answer, Abner?" And Abner answered, "Who is it that calls me?" David said to Abner, "Are you not a man whose like does not exist in Israel? Why, then, have you not guarded the Lord your king when one of his subjects went to kill the king, your lord? This is no creditable service you have performed. As the Lord lives, you people deserve death because you have not guarded your lord, the Lord's anointed. Go, look, where are the king's spear and the water jug that was at his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and asked, "Is that your voice, my son David?" David answered, "Yes, my lord the king. he continued, "Why does my Lord pursue his servant? What have I done? What evil do I plan? Please now, let my Lord the King listen to the words of his servant. If the Lord has incited you against me, let an offering appease him. But if men, may they be cursed before the Lord, because they have exiled me, so that this day I have no share in the Lord's inheritance, but am told, go serve other gods. Do not let my blood flow to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea, as if he were hunting partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have done wrong. Come back, my son David. I will not harm you again, because you have held my life precious today. Indeed, I have been a fool and have made a serious mistake." But David answered, "Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. The Lord will reward each man for his justice and faithfulness. Today, though the Lord delivered you into my grasp, I would not harm the Lord's anointed. As I valued your life highly today, so may the Lord value my life highly and deliver me from all difficulties." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed are you, my son David. You shall certainly succeed in whatever you undertake." David went his way, and Saul returned to his home.
Arrogant men have risen up against me, and brutal men seek my life. Save me, O God, by your name.
And with your strength, defend my cause.
Willingly I shall offer sacrifice to you. O God, hear my prayer.
And with your strength, defend my cause.
A reading from a homily by St. Gregory of Nyssa, Bishop. In our human life, bodily health is a good thing, but this blessing consists not merely in knowing the causes of good health, but in actually enjoying it. If a man eulogizes good health and then eats food that has unhealthy effects, what good is his praise of health when he finds himself on a sickbed? Similarly, from the Lord's saying, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God," we are to learn that blessedness does not lie in knowing something about God, but rather in possessing God within oneself. I do not think these words mean that God will be seen face to face by the man who purifies the eye of his soul. Their sublime import is brought out more clearly, perhaps, in that other saying of the Lord's, "The kingdom of God is within you." This teaches us that the man who cleanses his heart of every created thing and every evil desire will see the image of the divine nature in the beauty of his own soul. I believe the lesson summed up by the word in that short sentence is this: you men have within you a desire to behold the supreme good. Now, when you are told that the majesty of God is exalted above the heavens, that his glory is inexpressible, his beauty indescribable, and his nature transcendent, do not despair because you cannot behold the object of your desire. If by a diligent life of virtue you wash away the film of dirt that covers your heart, then the divine beauty will shine forth in you. Take a piece of iron as an illustration. Although it might have been black before, once the rust has been scraped off with a whetstone, it will begin to shine brilliantly and reflect the rays of the sun. So it is with the interior man, which is what the Lord means by the heart. Once a man removes from his soul the coating of filth that has formed on it through his sinful neglect, he will regain his likeness to his archetype and be good. For what resembles the supreme good is itself good. If he then looks into himself, he will see the vision he has longed for. This is the blessedness of the pure heart. In seeing their own purity, they see the divine archetype mirrored in themselves. Those who look at the sun in a mirror, even if they do not look directly at the sky, see its radiance in the reflection just as truly as do those who look directly at the sun's orb. It is the same, says the Lord, with you. Even though you are unable to contemplate and see the inaccessible light, you will find what you seek within yourself, provided you return to the beauty and grace of that image which was originally placed in you. For God is purity. He is free from sin and a stranger to all evil. If this can be said of you, then God will surely be within you. If your mind is untainted by any evil, free from sin, and purified from all stain, then indeed you are blessed, because your sight is keen and clear. Once purified, you see things that others cannot see. When the mists of sin no longer cloud the eye of your soul, you see that blessed vision clearly in the peace and purity of your own heart. That vision is nothing else than the holiness, the purity, the simplicity, and all the other glorious reflections of God's nature, through which God Himself is seen.
The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
Whoever believes in me has eternal life.
Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that we may always revere and love your holy name, for you never deprive of your guidance those you set firm on the foundation of your love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.